And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme, and today's theme is personal freedom. All of my guests are discussing various aspects of personal freedom. My first guest is a professor at Oklahoma State University who specializes in entrepreneurship. We discussed how today's entrepreneurs are women from her latest book, A Cup of Cappuccino for the Entrepreneur Spirit. My second guest is the former British ambassador to Libya. We discussed the turmoil in that country and its citizens' strive for personal freedom. My next guest is a medical doctor and a surgeon, but he gave all of that up, and he delights in transforming persons of average income who happen to have above-average motivation into millionaires. He's going to teach us his secrets to a seven-figure income. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Frederick Bart received a medical degree and completed his postgraduate surgical residency under the auspices of Johns Hopkins Hospital, very prestigious hospital in Baltimore. Frederick spent nearly a decade performing emergency and elective reconstructive surgeries before changing his focus and his attention to transforming persons of average income with above-average motivation into millionaires. Frederick provides teleseminars free of charge. He's available for individual consultations as well. He has an undergraduate student at the University of Michigan. He was a member of the cheerleading squad, and he was also president of W8UM, which is the amateur radio station there at the University of Michigan. Frederick has run several 26.2-mile marathons. He's a certified scuba diver and a referee for soccer. He lives in the greater Detroit area with his wife and his children. Welcome to the show, Frederick. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Billy the Brain. I'm wonderful, and it is a great day to be a millionaire. How are you?
It's always a great day to be a millionaire, and I am so glad to have you on the show. I'm doing fine, feeling a little impoverished compared to you. But I want to start with the obvious question that my listeners want to know. You were trained as a doctor, and you, in fact, practiced medicine. So what prompted you to suddenly change careers and move from medicine into helping others achieve financial freedom?
Well, I think everyone struggles with finances, even those that aren't struggling financially. And for me, my change was not only predicated on a desire to make more money, which in fact it partially was, but for a more fulfilling life and lifestyle. By giving up a more structured practice, I then had time to go to my kids' soccer games, be there for the wife and children, and actually enjoy a more traditional family life.
So really you're talking about personal freedom, which is, of course, the subject matter of our show today. So I think that that's good. Now, you are a self-made millionaire. So tell us how you made your millions. And I find this very interesting because, Frederick, you did it without investing in stocks, bonds, or real estates. How'd you do it?
Well, that's correct. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with stocks. There's just, you know, a plethora of information available on the stock market. And that's a great thing. It's done very well over the years. And certainly we're inundated with information on foreclosures and real estate opportunities. And, you know, if that's where your heart is and your passion is, then follow that route. And I'm not the person to guide you along that path. But I believe that anyone can establish seven-figure wealth by making small incremental changes, just modifying your savings and spending habits. And actually, that's what did it for me. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It doesn't happen overnight. But with a focused and concerted effort, you too can become a millionaire.
Well, now, it begs the question then, talking about it, Frederick. You say it's not an overnight sensation, and I certainly wouldn't invite you on the show if you were one of those get-rich-quick guys. But how long does it take to become a millionaire? But more importantly, if it's going to take time, how does one stay motivated over that long period of time?
Well, that's two excellent questions, Billy. And really, let's start with the motivation, because you have to stay motivated, you have to stay focused. And, for example, let's say the object of your desire is a new home. What I would recommend someone do is go to the Rob Report or go to a local real estate website and cut out a picture of a home that you want. Then make three or four or five copies of it. And I suggest you put a copy in front of your computer. Stick one in your wallet or in your purse. Put one in your checkbook. And then if you're brazen and daring enough, I'd like you to take that home, cut out some pictures of perhaps your children or loved ones, and frame it and put it on your desk so you can see it. Constant visual reinforcement is a great way to stay focused on a long-term goal because you're not seeing significant immediate results.
All right. And then the first part of that, how long will it take? Do you have any prescription for how long it takes to become a millionaire?
You know, that's different for each person. Some people are starting kind of at budget neutral. Okay, they're starting without any debt, but without any assets. Those people, of course, will get there quicker than the fellow that's 50K in credit card debt. Rather than assure anyone as to how quickly they'll get there, I think with simple changes, they can start to see palpable progress within the next 90 days. And, you know, I was where your listeners are. Okay, I've been there. I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like not to have any real appreciable money, even with a significant income. So having been there, I can tell you that by the time I was 50 years old, I had several million dollars in the bank. I had a very large home that was paid for free and clear, second home free and clear, Maserati, children in private school, everything that I could possibly want. So I liberated myself not only from financial debt, but also from the constraints, the trappings of actually having to work. What I do today, I do because I want to do, and I like it. It's a very blessed existence.
Oh, wow.
I have my own freedom.
That is great. We're talking to Frederick Bart, everybody. He is the author of the book, From Middle Class to Millionaire. And I think what I found very interesting, that there are three big money myths that keep most people in the middle class rather than freeing them up for the lifestyle that you just described, Frederick. So what are those three money myths that we all fall prey to?
Well, I think everybody has their own set of fallacies that they exist within. One of them, I believe, is that there's so much information that credit cards are, in fact, bad. I believe just the opposite. I think using credit cards, and certainly abusing credit cards, is a common bane of modern society, and that we need to avoid that at all costs. But having credit cards is a wonderful thing, particularly if your job may be a little bit precarious. I strongly encourage folks to have a credit card in their pocket as an insurance policy. Have enough lines of credit available to cover 12 months of expenses. Heaven forbid you lose your job, your company downsizes, you're outsourced, or whatever it is. When you need the money most, the bank will lend it to you least. So carry 6, 8, 10 cards. Have that available money should you need it. I think that's certainly one of the myths. I guess the other myths are the need to invest in real estate or the stock market.
All right. Great. We're talking to Frederick Bart. Frederick, now, I find it interesting that really you claim what started you down your path to great financial success was starting a C corporation and incorporating yourself. Talk to me about that experience and why you recommend that people do that and how it leads to success.
Billy the Brain, you're absolutely correct. That is, in fact, the single tenet that put me on the right track. And I would encourage everyone to form a C corp. Set up a parallel source of income or divert some of your own income to it. So tax laws in this country favor corporations. If that weren't true, every company that was publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange would not be a C corp. Why do they do it? Well, first of all, you have some asset protection in the event of litigation, but also because of the tax benefits. Let's take a quick example. You, as an individual, do not get health care at home, or health care at work, I should say, so you have to pay for it at home.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a corporation, also would not have health care, but you still want to provide it for you, yourself, as a person or the family employee. If you take $10,000 a year as an employee of someone else's corporation, you're going to pay your 27% tax, so that's going to leave you $7,300. From that $7,300, you must then buy your own health care insurance. That's an after-tax example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a corporation, you've also made that same parallel $10,000, but now you would like to supply you or your family with health care, and let's say that health care costs, whatever, $5,000. So you've taken $10,000 income, you've spent $5,000 of that on health care, your tax base now is $5,000, of which you're going to be paying only 15% tax as opposed to 27% tax as an individual. You get the pre-tax deductions, and you're paying at a lower rate. You cannot lose with a C corp. And in today's world, you can go online and file for a C-Corp for just a couple hundred dollars. It's a simple thing to do.
All right. We're talking to Frederick Bart, author of the book From Middle Class to Millionaire. We're talking about some of his techniques for getting in a better place financially. One of the techniques that I like that you have in your book, Frederick, is a technique you call Save Your Savings. Explain what that is and how that works for my listeners, please.
Absolutely. And this is just one of those basic fundamental steps towards becoming a millionaire. And it's a three-step process, which overall we call Save Your Savings. I like to use an example that if an item costs $100, but in this week's newspaper, there's a coupon for $20 off, and you're going to buy this item anyhow. So you promptly take this $100 in your pocket and your $20 off coupon, you go to the store and you buy this item. Of course, it costs $80. I like to ask folks, how much did they save? Typical response I get is that I've saved $20. Well, in fact, I don't think so, not unless you actually do. Most people have spent the $80, put the $20 back in their billfold, and they're going to spend the other $20 later. Instead, what I'd like you to do is to truly save that $20. The minute you check out at the cash register, I want you to separate your savings. I want you to take that $20 and put it in a different part of your pocket, billfold, wallet, or wherever it is. Take that $20 home, and now I want you to save your savings. I like to use the analogy, Billy, that if a child's bank is a piggy bank, an adult's bank should be an elephant because we have just that much more to save. So take the $20, stuff it in there. Throw in a 5, a 50, a 2 from all your different savings. And over time, we're going to go on to step 3, which is the real crux of this, and we need to snowball the savings. So something very simple, you can just gather up those loose bills from the elephant bank, march down to your local bank, and buy a United States savings bond. I know, it's not sophisticated, it's not sexy, it's not as edgy as you may be looking for, but it has a predictable rate of return, it's insured by the full faith of the United States government, and at least you're doing something with that $20 you really wouldn't have saved from the beginning anyhow.
And Frederick, isn't this one of those areas where your plan can dovetail with somebody who wants to be a little bit more aggressive and take the money that they've saved? Then they can go and, with the help of a financial advisor or perhaps on their own, invest in the stock market or real estate or whatever it is that they want to do to try to snowball the money?
Oh, it's perfect. Absolutely. Instead of the easy way out, and savings bonds are just truly an easy way out, you can make systematic deposits into a mutual fund. Or if you'd like to start to put that down on real estate, absolutely. It's just one way of thinking differently.
All right, great. We're talking to Frederick Bart, everybody, author of the book From Middle Class to Millionaire. Now, also in your book, you know, many, many savings techniques. One that I liked is a technique that you recommend about buying cars. And you say you got this from other millionaires that you observed. What is the best way to buy a car if you want to become a millionaire?
Well, let me tell you, I don't know if it's the best way to buy a car if you're going to become a millionaire, but let me tell you what I've in fact observed. That is, 2/3 of millionaires buy 2-year-old cars. Why is that? They have 70% of the depreciation of the vehicle has already taken place, but yet there's still 70% of the road life ahead of it. The enormous hit a new car takes occurs within the first 24 months. So anyone can buy a new car, new to them, maybe not factory model new, that's only 24 months old and expect to drive that for many, many years. It's an enormous tool for savings.
All right, that's great. We're talking to Frederick Bart, author of the book From Middle Class to Millionaire. Now, Frederick, people who buy your book, what do you want them to take away from reading Middle Class to Millionaire?
I want to demystify the process. I want to give them hope, encouragement. I want to explain to them in very simple to understand, easy to read, layman terms, that personal finance is not a difficult topic. Every household is, in fact, a mini corporation, and we can structure it to operate profitably.
All right. And now, looking back on the experience of writing the book and having published it, what did you get out of writing this book?
I got enormous satisfaction. By the time I had written the book, I was, you know, already had several million dollars in cash and in assets. So I certainly didn't do it for the 10% royalty. Instead, what I did, it gave me an opportunity to share my own journey, my own experiences, and back it up with some solid research so that other people can start to make those basic incremental steps that I'd already put into place.
I think that it's great. We've been talking to Frederick Bart, everybody, author of the book From Middle Class to Millionaire. And, Frederick, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, certainly they're welcome to stop by my website, middleclasstomillionaire.com. And there's a free report there. They can download it. I don't need your name, your credit card information. Take a look. There's 10 tips for today on there right now. And because I like to under-promise and over-deliver, in fact, we might actually provide 11 tips. Take a look at that before you spend the $19.95 on the book. That's just one resource that's available out there.
That is great. We've been talking to Frederick Bart, everybody, author of the book From Middle Class to Millionaire. Frederick, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure, Billy the Brain. Thank you so
much. Take care.